glorified.
Yes.
So we taught the class in the end. We prayed over the sick. And then we gathered. It was just spontaneous. We just gathered in a circle and we all lifted our hands and started worshiping in the Spirit. And he's just there like he is here. And I started to prophesy, and the Lord said, what I came for tonight was for the song. I came for the love song. It was a song with no words. It was a song in the Spirit. And he came to drink of it. And didn't Jesus say, I thirst? And the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows what you went through. The Lord knows how much you love him. And the Lord has forgiven much. And those who have forgiven, been forgiven much, love the most. And the Lord says he knows of your love for him. And it's pleasing. And he will help you to become the man that you desire to be. Because what's in your heart is going to break out. And the thing you thought you couldn't do, God is going to enable you to do it. He's going to break you out. You're going to break out. And you mentally, spiritually, are going to break out and become a new man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Share now, unless anyone has something they didn't do, they were supposed to. We already had the meeting. You know, the meeting is the meeting. If you don't meet him, it's not a meeting. You know that, right? The meeting is meeting him. And too many times we go to meeting and there's no meeting. We meet with people. But today we met with him. Yes, Lord. Just want to share a few scriptures and then I feel that we should end. With a song, maybe we could just lift up our hands again and sing a song in the Spirit. Proverbs 8:18. Or I think it's 17. Let me see. Proverbs 8:17. I use the King James Version. If you have another version, just stick with it. I like King James because I think when there's any question, you can go back to the Hebrew or the Greek and really see the meaning of the word. I don't be in thou, but I do go with the King James. But I do like sometimes to ask, do you have another interpretation? And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those that love me, and those who seek me early will find me.
That's simple, isn't it? Today I just want to talk on God's love for us and our loving Him in return. Okay? One translator translates that verse, "I love those that love me, and those that seek me early find me," this way. What he's saying is, I love you loving me. I love you loving me, he says. I love when you love me. I appreciate being appreciated. I love being thanked. I love being honored. I love being worshipped. He doesn't command worship in that he says, on your knees, get down, worship me. No, who he is commands worship. Isn't that right? Who he is. The sunset, if you look at a sunset, it commands worship, doesn't it? If you look at a beautiful diamond or something that you love, a beautiful horse or whatever it is you love, it commands, whoa, look. Who he is commands our worship. He commands our lives. And he loves to be loved and wants to be wanted. He goes where he's welcome and stays where he's wanted. And who would have thought on a Saturday afternoon in a little church tucked away on a busy street would meet a handful of disciples, just like in the Bible, when the handful of disciples met with Jesus and he taught them, didn't he? And he called them to himself, and then he sent them out. And the Lord has called you to himself because the man is more important than the ministry will ever be. See, it's not what you do, it's who you are.
Right.
And in Proverbs 31, he says to, in the first, I don't know, five or six verses, he talks about who can find a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. He talks about all of who she is to him. And then he talks about her ministry, her mission. And God is going to give you a great mission. He's already spoken to you about this mission. But first he has to fortify you before he brings you onto this field in the end time battle. You must be fortified. You must be prepared and ready, the both of you, to stand on the field. God's going to give you a field, a battlefield, and he's going to already given you the victory. It's already the victory. It's already. But he's much more concerned with you than anything you'll ever do. And so, I don't want to say, you're not ready yet. But God is going to work on you and with you until you are ready. And there is, he will say, I find no fault in you. I find no fault in you. And then you go. Then you go. Then you go across the sea. Then you go. And then you see the victory. And you see the field. And you see the souls. And you see the warfare. And you see the principality come down. And you see the final victory. How many of you know we're living in the last days? We're living in the last days. And we are preparing for the final battle. Yes. Yes. And the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, no one wars like a lover. And no one loves like a warrior. Like that?
Yeah.
You've got to have something to die for.
Right.
To be willing to die for. No one loves like a warrior. No one wars like a lover. And when you love him, you will go to battle for him and with him, won't you?
That's right.
And in this meeting today, we are lovers of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Lovers of the Lamb. If you want to be great, be a great lover of the Lamb, Anna. Be a great lover of Jesus. And you will be great in his sight. I love those who love me. Those who seek me, find me. Jesus poured his love out on us. We've heard it. We know it. He poured his life out for us. He was beaten. He was betrayed. He was denied by his own friends. He suffered in the battle, didn't he? And on the battlefield of Gethsemane is where he said, okay, I'll die. I understand. You see, Gethsemane was not just a little garden, and it was a battlefield. And the only way Jesus could win the battle of Gethsemane was to die. Who was the last man standing in Gethsemane? One man, Christ Jesus. One man. And he loved us until the end. And hung on a cross for us until he could live no more. And the cardiologists and the doctors, and they all say that Jesus died of a ruptured heart. A coronary rupture. That's it. Coronary rupture. Jesus died of a coronary rupture, which means his heart burst. It broke. And that's, Jesus died of a broken heart, didn't he? And so, you know, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that dies? When we look at him and we believe this, nothing's too great, right? A cost. I know these are strong words, but I'm telling you that we're living in the last days. And if you're going to get commenced to save souls, you need to get it right with God. And he's going to help you do that. Because there's a call on you to help people, to help them to find Jesus, just like you have. Do you believe that?
I'm losing my family as we speak. As we speak, because of my love for Jesus and my commitment to God. My family's texting me right now telling me to go to hell, all right? That's my family that loves me.
You're not.
I know I'm not.
I'm going to pray for you. I don't know why. I just keep feeling drawn to you.
Because of what's going on right here. I'm getting hammered.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Hammered.
We're going to pray for you. Okay. Can you hold on a minute, or should we do it now, Clay? Let's do it now. Okay. What's your name?
Brad.
Let's pray for you. Are they not saved at all?
No.
Okay. Amen, God. Where's this from? Carol's I'm not going to read it. I just put my hand on this phone right now, and I say no to this. As a church, today,
yes, yes,
we say no.
Yes,
Pastor, we
yes,
say no.
Yes,
we
yes,
say no, Pastor. We say no to this. No, no, no. Turn it around, Lord. Turn it around.
Every council, every one of the enemy, strong.
Jesus' name. Let be a life changer for them. Let be a soul changer for them. Let your destiny be changed forever, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, this be the beginning of the restoration of that family. Let them stop the abuse, Lord God. Let them fall in line with your name, Lord Jesus. He's a shining light, Lord. You've lit his candle, Lord God.
Yes.
You refuse to hold it under a bushel, Lord God. I pray that you will let it glow brighter and brighter, Lord God. Lord, bring him down, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, Lord God. The victory belongs to you, Lord Jesus. It belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, the precious name of Jesus, we declare this.
For I have scriptures in my heart, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your entire household.
Yes. Yes.
So Lord, we just call them into the kingdom right now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We're just texting them, Lord. Lord, ask that you put a hook in their jaw right now where they are, Lord, that you shake in their heart, that you put something in their heart, and we call them into the kingdom right now this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. So Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this family. Lord, shield him and hedge him in during all this and this attack. And this is fine, but the Lord says, you remember we said, land for a household, right? Not just for you, but for a household. So your blood covers your house. And so while they're not saved yet, it's just yet. And they will be in the kingdom. So we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for their salvation, Lord. But we don't pray the problem, we prophesy the answer. When they're saved, they'll deliver. We thank you for that, Jesus. And we call them into the kingdom in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I speak over Brad's family and his extended family that they will encounter the reality of the living God in a way that they cannot deny and they cannot refuse and they cannot turn from, Lord. We speak salvation over his house in Jesus' name.
And for us. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And deliverance.
Break down the walls on their minds, Lord, the curtain that's over their eyes, that God will begin to hear and see the truth, that undeniable truth, that, Lord, that they'll open their hearts and believe, Lord, they pray, Lord, for their own salvation. Lord, though they call him today in cursing, Lord, they'll be calling him and asking him for prayer. And, Lord, we just declare that over him today.
Yes.
Lord, the victory. Lord, you came to break the chains that the enemy has set over your people. And Lord, we declare those chains on their minds, their hearts, and their eyes, Lord, today. We break them all, that God will see the truth. And Lord, our heart will respond to the truth in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Do you believe that,
Brett?
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Do you believe it? Good, but stand up. That's all. Just stand up in the church. Just stand. Just stand. Now you've done all. Stand. We stand with you. You know, when Jesus came to town, whenever he was doing something, there was always somebody in the crowd or in the village that really had the need. Remember?
And Jesus would come over here and go to the one who has a need. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And you can all see it, Brad. We've seen God do great things in our families. He won't let you down.
Yeah.
Not saying it's over, but the strong man, you know, sometimes you cut the head off the snake and it still wiggles.
Yes.
But today, the head of the serpent, excuse me, kids, let the head of the serpent be cut off in the name of Jesus. Okay. All right, we have the victory.
Yes.
Amen.
We have the victory.
Amen.
Isn't Jesus good?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I have no clue where I was. I'm sure it was somewhere really good. He loves those that love him. Yes. Jesus, do you have something, Chris?
Can I just say something to Brad?
Of course.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
The guys that witnessed to me, I laughed at them. I knew what they were saying was right, but to their face, I just laughed at them. And look where I am today. No matter what it looks like.
Hold your faith and your heart, and there's victory.
Amen.
We believe that today as a church.
Amen.
Okay. So the Lord loves being loved. He goes where he's welcome, and he stays where he's wanted. And I just want to say this to you. This what was, I guess, at the core of what I was feeling for you all, for us, is that the Lord is looking for intimates. In the church, we have a lot of new terms, you know. We have, I don't even want to talk about all of them. But just like in the church, everyone can prophesy, right? Everyone can prophesy. Are all prophets? No. You can talk out loud. Is everyone who prophesies a prophet?
No.
Okay. Is everyone who intercedes an intercessor? Is everyone who has a time of intimate relations with the Lord, a good prayer meeting, a good this, does that make them an intimate of God? No. Okay. And the Lord says he's looking for intimates. He's looking for not just times of intimacy in your life, but a life of intimacy, an intimate. You read the Bible and you find very few intimates of God. Okay, I want to talk just quickly about two intimates of God. One intimate, the first one I'm going to talk about is Moses. Moses was God's intimate, wasn't he? How does Deuteronomy end? The book of Deuteronomy. Who can read me the last scripture in the book? Well, it may not be the very last, but Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34:10. I'll read it. And there never again arose a prophet since in Israel like Moses, who the Lord knew face to face. Do you notice the verbiage there? It doesn't say who Moses knew. It's the Lord knew. The Lord knew Moses, you see. The Lord knows you. He knows
he can trust you, or if he can't trust you, he knows you. And the way he gets to know you is to try your heart.
Yeah.
And anything you love more than him will deceive you. Mm-hmm. See? So the Lord knew Moses. He was tried and tested in the wilderness. And again in the wilderness, he was tested in everything. And so the Lord is grooming intimates, Clay. He's grooming intimates, you and Andrea, grooming intimates, not just times of intimacy. And the terrible thing about what I'm saying is this. We, not he, determine the degree of intimacy we will have with him.
Right.
Do you believe that today?
Yes, right.
He draws, but we respond, you see. He initiates, but we have to reciprocate, don't we? And so we, not he, determine the degree of intimacy we will have with him. How many of you want to go all the way? Just want to have a life of intimacy with God.
Amen.
Where he says, you know what? You come in before God and you say, Lord, here I am. Into me, see. I'm just opening up. I'm spending time alone with you. Everything else is secondary. I want you to see into me. Cleanse me. Purge me. Adjust me. Heal me. Deliver me. And then you know what he says? I'll do it. And then he says, now you can see into me. Because the liar can't stay long in the presence of God, right? And to have that intimacy with God, we have to be pure and holy. Do y'all want to hear this today?
Yes, amen.
Okay, because if not, it won't be good for you.
It's the Lord, it's good.
Okay, so the Lord wants us to be transparent.
Yes.
And then he says, now see into me. I'll share my secrets with you. I'll tell you the hidden mysteries. I'll open those scriptures you've been wondering about. I'll answer your prayers. I'll put the prayers in you. God says he's going to put prayers in you to pray, not just answer your prayers. He's going to put the prayers in you. And the prayers he puts in you are the prayers that you know are going to be answered.
Yes.
And he's going to increase your time of prayer to where you must go and separate yourself and pray for the things he himself is putting in the depth of your heart that you can't escape, that you don't want to escape, because it's too important. God is going to share his heart with your heart, and two will become mesh.
Amen.
When he weeps, you weep. When it happens, you're joyful. You're going to experience, if you will, the emotion of God. God is not emotional, but God has emotions,
yeah.
Right? If we laugh, cry, hate, whatever, we have joy, how much more God, you see? And so you're going to start feeling the things God is feeling. And don't think it's depression when your heart gets sad. You're not a depressed person. But sometimes God's heart is heavy.
Yeah.
And as an intercessor, you have to understand that the burden is God, not you. Okay? But it comes with great joy. And so God is looking for intimates. And we want to be those, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, the intimates of God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
The intimates of God. Moses was God's. Here we go. I brought my Torah. Okay, for those of you who may not know, the Torah are the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. And it's beautiful. I tell you, it's a beautiful book. And it says this about Moses. Let me just read you. Concerning Moses, this is what it says concerning him. It says, with the splendor of the divine presence, the glory on Moses' face, says it reaffirms his role as the unique intimate of God. He was the unique, not just the, he was the unique intimate of God. How many of you want that?
That's good.
or just be happy to just, you know, stick my toe in the water. No,
right.
Jump in.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, time's short.
Amen.
What he's going to do, he's going to just, it's going to happen. God is looking for unique, personal intimates. Do you like that?
Yes.
How many of you never heard that before? Or ever heard that before? You've heard it? Okay, how many of you, okay, stop. How many of you have never heard that before?
Never heard the term.
Never heard the term.
Yeah.
Okay, unique, personal, intimate of God.
That's good.
A friend of God. He doesn't have a lot of friends. Well, on the world scale, yes, he has a lot. But I mean, in the ratio of friend versus nominal Christian, I think the ratio is probably in favor of nominal Christian. Do you?
I agree.
And so he's looking today in this very church for some intimates. I'll quickly tell you one thing about Moses. When the children of Israel sinned, right, and God said, I'm leaving, I'm out, and he withdrew his personal, localized, manifest presence off the camp. What did Moses do? Anyone?
He interceded.
He did intercede. But what did he do personally? I'll tell you. He said, okay, God, it's me and you. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to build a tent of meeting. But it can't be in the camp, because you said you're not going to dwell with the golden calf makers. So we're going over here. And out here is my tent of meeting, God. And do you know what? The Bible clearly says that when Moses, I could read it, but you trust me. Well, should I read it? I just want to kind of go quick.
Exodus 33.
What?
Exodus 33.
You read it.
I saw it before.
Okay.
Yes.
Exodus 33. The tent of meeting. Now, Moses would take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. This is verse 7, 33:7, and pitch it outside the camp, and it was called the tent of meeting. And whoever would seek the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he had entered the tent. And this is the key verse. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of a cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent when he spoke with God. Do you believe that? He goes where he's wanted.
Yeah.
We had a student from, I think it was Barat maybe, from Nepal. And he actually heard, I don't know what was going on the campus, but he literally got a tent and pitched it in the woods of Pinecrest Woods up in upstate New York. He pitched a tent where he could go out and meet God. And he'd go out there and meet God in the woods. Do you see the heart of it? You see, really what God is looking for is our heart. A heart that will break with him, will break for him, like his broke for ours. He poured it all out. Now we get the royal privilege of pouring out all that we are, all that we have. No reserve. What purpose is the waste? They asked. It's poured out on Jesus. Okay, so now we've covered Moses. Did you like that?
Amen.
Thank Moses.
Amen.
My grandson loved Moses. We watched the Ten Commandments recently, and our grandson, William, after we watched it, he said, William, what did you learn from that? He said, all I can say is after Moses went to the burning bush, he was a different man. He walked different, he talked different, and he had courage.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, William, you see? So we won our meeting with God, and it happens in the church, in the public place, but really where God wants to meet you daily is in your private place.
Right.
So build him a tent of meeting. And you may become a personal intimate of Jesus Christ. Okay, you like that?
Amen.
Okay, that's the Old Testament. And I have to say, some of these things I'm telling you, it took me years to get this. I've been saved since I was, well, whatever. But anyway, we've been saved almost 50 years and married 46. And so some things take time. I guess I'm a slow learner, but I finally got it. And so he wants you to get this. Okay, now I just quickly want to talk about John the Beloved. Okay, I'm going to give you now a New Testament intimate of Jesus. Okay, and you all already know this. I just want to call a couple things into view concerning John. First of all, there are many Johns in the New Testament, weren't there? A lot of Johns. But I would say the intimate of Jesus is John the Beloved. Would you agree with that? Okay, John, there's no one like the baptizer. I mean, come on. He's the greatest prophet that ever lived. And all he did was say, "Behold the Lamb."
Thank you, Lord.
"Behold the Lamb" was his cry. And today the Lord sends me here as a crier of his heart to say that he is looking for personal intimates. He is looking forward to meeting with you and giving you secrets of his heart. You've walked in a weary and dry desert. God says, if you'll stop at the oasis, you and he will drink together and both be satisfied. Both be satisfied with your personal communion with God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was good word.
Thanks, Lord. Yeah.
Okay, that went right into your heart. Okay. So John the Beloved, you know, we won't go to every scripture. I'm just going to say a few. Jesus left everything to follow the will of the Father, and so did John, right? John left everything to follow him. John was a part of the three favored, wasn't he? He was part of the inner circle of Jesus. Don't ask me how and why he chose them like he did, but he did. It's his personal business. And if he wanted three personal intimates, he called them and he got them, right? And so John, I would say, okay, the groups around Jesus, there were the multitudes. There was 120, right? There was 70. There was 12. There was 3. And then there was the one that Jesus loved. Mm-hmm. And he knew himself as that. As the one that Jesus loved. Because out of the multitudes and the 120 and the 70 and the 15 and the 3, he was the only disciple that went to the cross and watched Jesus die. You know that. The only one. And so this personal, unique of God had to go to a cross. It's like, but I love you, God. But he had to go. How many of you know we all have to go to the cross? Well, yes, to watch Jesus die.
Yes.
No, to let him teach us how to die to self. This is strong, and it's Saturday, and you could be at the beach. But you're here hearing this, and it's going into your hearts. And I pray he seals it with a kiss.
Amen.
On your life. Okay, so John the Beloved, and I'm going to stop right here with this. But first let me say this. In you is the ability to give everything, to sell out, and you're doing it beforehand. The Lord says he's going to help you to totally give him every part of you until there is no more of you and it's all of him. When the woman poured out the alabaster box, Jesus said this. He said, she came beforehand and she has done what she could. She came beforehand.
poured it all out, and Jesus loved it. And he said, oh, this story, I want this story to be told to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Get ready. Get a suitcase ready, you two.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Because this act of devotion had to be shared all over the world. He said, this one, the effect of the gospel on a heart will build such a devotion, it demands to be told throughout the whole earth. And you will tell it.
Amen.
You will tell it. Amen. Oh, and then after he was crucified and he rose again, some women went to the tomb, didn't they? Oh, we're going to anoint Jesus. Guess what? It was too late. Got to do it now. It was too late. She came beforehand, right, to anoint him. Then the day came, it was too late. And there, you're going to do it beforehand. May we all, Lord, do it beforehand. Okay? And now I'm going to stop with this. Okay. God's unique, personal, intimate, John the Beloved. Can you imagine meeting him on the street, right? And he comes up and he shakes your hand and you tell me your name.
Wilbur.
Okay. Hi, I'm the one that Jesus loved. I don't even have a name anymore. I'm just the one Jesus loved.
Yeah.
Because he watched love die. And he never could forget that. Let it burn in you, sweet psalmist. Let it burn in you, O singer of the Lord. Let it burn in your heart of kindness that he died and you understood and you came to him and gave him your life. He knows. And he appreciates. So, here it is. So, when you were lifting your hands today and worshiping the Lord, I don't know your name.
Michael?
When you were worshiping and you lifted your hands like that, it was like the Lord came down and just touched your hands.
Yeah.
He wanted to hold hands with you. Sounds rather childish, doesn't it? But it isn't, because it's worship is a point of contact.
It is. Yeah.
It's a point of contact, and as you worship, as we worship, you go up and he comes down and you met with the touch of a hand.
Mm.
Okay, here it is. I think I'm done.
Andrew's on her way back.
She is?
Yeah.
Should I wait?
If you want her to quote the song. You got more in you.
Okay. If I can go, I can go.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll say, I have to go to the punchline. I'm right here. I'm hanging over the cliff. Got to jump. Okay, so. John the Beloved was known all his days as the one Jesus loved, right? And because he saw Christ crucified, he was the one who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Yes. And when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he got caught up. And guess what he got to see? The glorified, wonderful Jesus. He was the one privileged to, and he wrote the last book of the Bible. Amen. God's unique, personal intimates will find his favor, will do his will, will find themselves in the right place at the right time, because the hand of God is on them and he has a plan for our lives that no one can stop. It's a lamp for a house, you're right. A lamp for a house. When I was first saved, they thought I lost my mind. They tried to talk me out of it. They did. The Catholic priest came over to my house and told my father that I was the lost cause because I was leaving the church, the Catholicism. And I'm not speaking against any religion or church. I'm just saying where I came from. And so I'm still standing. And I'm on fire, in case you can't see, because love is a burning fire. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, okay, this one's for free. The Song of Solomon says this concerning love, because that was
a disciple of love, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Love, the beloved, the beloved. Love one another, love him, love everybody. He was a disciple of love. So go with me quickly to the Song of Solomon. It's probably my most tore up book in the Bible. I don't think there's anything that's not scribbled on. So no matter what you face in life, Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse, I'm just going to read this to you. Verse 6 and 7. He says to you today, set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals are coals of fire, and they have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man were to give all the substance of his house, he would utterly be contemned. Somebody read that in another translation.
Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame.
Okay. Now that you're back, Andrea, I can bring the final scripture. Okay. All right. So, I just want to bring a correction to the teaching and the interpretation of one of these scriptures, where it says this, set me, this is the beloved king, this is Jesus speaking, the Lord speaking, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. The correct translation of that is, for not even death itself is as strong as love. Do you believe that? How can death be stronger than life? I mean, stronger than love. Death cannot be stronger than love because love conquered the grave and rose again, so the death couldn't hold him. So when you read this scripture, was this the paramount scripture of the love of God in the Old Testament? Love is as strong as death, they read it. No, it's not. Death itself is as strong as love. And when you love him, you will pour all out. You will, sir, yes, sir. Whatever you need, whatever you love, whatever you want. Because God today, in this very place, has Andrea unique, personal intimates of God. So how many of you want a tent? A tent of meeting. A tent of meeting. You build me. Walter Beale used to say, you build, God told him, he said, you build me a house of devotion, I'll build you a house of ministry.
Right.
I'd like to add something to that, if I may touch the sacred cow. He says, if you build me a house of devotion, I will build you a house of ministry. Let's change it. If you build me a house of devotion, I will fill it with myself. And I will come, and I will visit you, and I will live with you, and reveal myself to you in ways that you've never known me before. Get ready. Open your tent. Invite me in. You and I will have sweet communion, and the presence of God will come into you and down on you, just like it did on Moses. Do you believe that today? Maybe there, you know, you won't have to put a veil over your face or something, but you're going to stand out. And I just want to say thank you today for coming and for hearing. It was very easy to speak today into your hearts. You're very open, and I know in this room God has unique, personal intimates. Clint?
And on that note, we're going to end with the act of worship with a song.